It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, I figured out what it was. There's a setting for a record option where you can choose in the software if it's going to record just audio or nothing. And for some reason, it had been set to nothing.
Mm.
So I flipped it back.
Mm-hmm.
We should be fine now.
Okay.
And the funny part is, if we aren't, they'll never know I made this joke. So this joke only goes out if it's funny. So that's handy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore. that last lost one chilled me to the bone. I'm like, what's even the point of this if no one's listening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's like just we're just talking. That's weird. Why am I wearing this? If that's
is that a new shirt or just a shirt I've never seen?
It is in fact a new shirt.
Mm.
I got a lot of new things.
I like it
because I had a birthday.
That's right.
And
just a few days ago,
my wife and my parents got me some presents.
Oh, nice.
My parents, I have a hard time. I mean, they don't know what I'm into too much or anything anymore. So they kind of just guess a little bit. They did really well this year.
Oh.
They got me both of these bracelets.
I was going to say, those look new too.
Yeah, they got me these. They got me a pair of earrings that's around here that are some garnet studs because that's my birthstone.
Oh.
And they got me this shirt. And two other shirts, of which I wore one yesterday. And this one is nice.
How did they, I mean, it fits really well. How did they know what size? And
oh,
everything?
They know what size I am.
Okay.
They've asked before. And I mean, it's, I haven't changed in a long time.
Okay.
For anybody buying me, I am 5XLT. So if you'd like to, that T is very important.
Tall,
I am
right?
Not just fat. I am also tall. I am big and tall. I access both aspects of those stores. To be fair, I mean, you could debate it. Am I tall or am I so fat that I can't get the shirt down far enough?
No,
so
are,
either way,
you are
it's,
tall,
you know. But yeah, I do need the 5XLT. Yeah, my mom and my wife are the only people who ever buy me clothes, including me. I don't do it, but they do it.
But I mean, that looks really good. It's a good color. Yeah. It works for you.
Trish thinks it's a little more butch than I've been wearing lately, which is true.
I guess.
But it's perfectly fine. And for some reason, the blue on blue check, I'm really digging.
Yeah, I like it.
But the other two, they got me their like flannel material and their long sleeve, which is great for the winter, because in recent years I suddenly actually get cold in winter.
Mm.
And one is just a deep green, solid green, and I really like that one. And the other one is like your traditional like lumberjack flannel design.
Oh, nice.
But they're like a chamois material, something that's really soft
and
nice.
Oh, yeah, right.
So that's cool.
Like you say, a flannel, it's kind of warm.
Yeah.
So what's going on with these? That's like,
I don't know, I just like
natural
them.
Stones? Or
this one, Trish thinks this one's actually all garnets.
Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah, nice. It's a bracelet.
Yeah, sorry, these are both bracelets.
Deep red.
Yeah.
That's really cool looking.
And this one is volcanic beads. And then the nine, I mean, I don't know what, or not the nine, the seven, but they're an absolute Roy G. Biv there. That's a rainbow.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Huh. That's really cool.
I did pretty neat with that, so. And Craig, you may not be aware of Roy G. Biv. I've learned recently, Roy G. Biv does not extend to the UK. In the UK, they say, I don't know, it's some historic mnemonic that they say. Somebody died vainly in battle, something, I don't know. Here we say Roy G. Biv. It's the name of a person, and it's red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they also say it in New Zealand, because that's how I found out they didn't say it in the UK. If somebody from New Zealand said it. And
so, what I've been told about these bracelets that have this volcanic whatever,
yes,
you can put like essential oils on them, and then they'll diffuse throughout the day.
That sounds nice. Or they'll give me a rash. I mean, depending.
Oh, yeah, maybe. But I think some people use them for that, for diffusing essential oils throughout the day.
All right.
Those are very nice.
I'll just rub Irish Spring on them. That's what I smell like. That's my whole deal. I use Irish Spring, and I use a deodorant that is Irish Spring scented.
Oh, I see.
Came from our honeymoon, weirdly, in Hawaii. We rented a cottage,
yeah,
and it had this outdoor shower, which was just weird, but fun. But I was like, I really like the smell of the soap that they provided. And then they had a bunch more under the sink, and I'm like, it's just Irish Spring. But I really liked it, so I started using it. I've been using it ever since. So
when I was growing up, like, my favorite soap was Coast. I just loved it. But I haven't used Coast.
Coast and Dial appeared in my life in equal measure, such that I'm not sure I can remember, really. And some Safeguard has shown up. I've never used Zest, and I've always wanted to use Zest.
No, we use Zest.
Because Zest leads you to believe there is no soap scum with Zest. And I'm familiar with soap scum, so the idea of that not existing sounds wonderful.
Dove, that's another soap.
Yeah, I've never been into Dove.
Oh,
I've never been into moisturizing as a whole.
Oh, I see.
I've just never really had a need for it. And I like to think it's because I hydrate so well. But, I mean, it's probably just genetics and crap like that.
Well, nowadays I use liquid soaps, whatever, so.
Yeah. Trish, she might be mad if I say this. I don't know. Trish doesn't use soap anymore.
Well, I used to use shampoo for everything.
No. Trish still uses stuff for her hair, but her body, she just scrubs it.
Oh, well, yeah.
With nothing, because she read about that. And it works.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's reasonable.
She's been doing it for probably like a year now, and she don't smell any worse than she did before.
Yeah,
so
that's perfectly reasonable.
It's just, you know, just gets the bacteria off and stuff like that. There's somebody even did a thing where they basically created the right kind of bacteria, and they would spray themselves with it, and then they didn't bathe at all. And they tested it out for a few weeks, and it worked really well.
Hmm, interesting.
Because the scent stuff is all bacterial interaction on your body.
Oh.
Bacteria? Bacteria. Look, it's bacteria.
You may not see it.
But it's there. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that continues to exist when you don't listen to it, even if nobody listens to it. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is technically episode 462, even though we've already recorded a 462.
Yes, but it went away.
It went away.
So it's like episode 12. We've had this happen before.
Yes, yes.
But episode 12, we caught while William was still here.
Yes.
And we could record a replacement. This one we didn't catch until after it had been posted in the next morning.
I
got to be honest, I'm surprised. I was always under the impression that you listened to them that night.
I sometimes do. I didn't this time. I know. Of all times for me not to do it, this time was the time.
I'm really surprised because I remember seeing, like, it wasn't just flat the whole time. I watched the thing. I don't know what happened.
Another time it's happened, we had to start over in the middle. I remember that happened
yes.
once. But only 12
those,
is the one
most,
who's lost.
The other ones have all been, the software crapped out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This one, everything went fine. Except for that part where no sound. Which is turns out to be a big deal. Like, for being, like, the one flaw in it, it was pretty important.
Well, if
we should have scared him in this one. We should have just stayed silent for, like,
one of the reasons
seconds.
I didn't listen good. Was because I didn't get to bed until really late. Which means even if I thought, well, I'll stay up and listen to it, it would have been, like, midnight.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Well, you wouldn't have been up to do anything
that
about
it. True. That is true.
So it wouldn't have mattered if I tried to listen to it.
I can't remember who told me first.
It must have been Jazz. I mean, that's what you
no.
forwarded to me.
Oh, was she the one who first said it? Because I got a bunch throughout the day. And in my head, somebody said something before Jazz. But I'm like, it wouldn't be Trish because she wouldn't listen. Oh, no, it was my former boss. She actually texted that night, like in the middle of the night.
You see
and
that?
I did, or not in the middle, but like at like 4 in the morning or something because she gets up really early. And so when I got up for the gym, I saw it, and I was like, I'm going to the gym. I'll deal with this when I get back. Mm. Like, it's 5:30 in the morning. This is not the make-it-or-break time. And thinking, in all likelihood, that something was screwed up on her end. And then I came back, nope.
It was us, huh?
Yeah, and by then Jazz had said something, and Trisha checked it, and she's texting me from the other room. She's like, no, it's fine, the intro's here. Wait, there's nothing after the intro. The outro's there, too, but in between, just dead silence.
Weird.
Anyway, for those of you just joining us for the first time, mostly our show's just an hour of silence. But today we're doing something
different. You're lucky.
We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, nice people, people who are going to make something of themselves in the long run. I got a good feeling about these people.
Yeah, me too.
Possibly you. write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards, manifest physically with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. It's still pretty gassy, servants. I'm pretty sure the time where I explained that I'm not doing ease anymore was in the episode that we lost. Draw the note cards. We draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, and that's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. We have a couple new listeners now, or people who have listened, I should say. It takes a little more to become a listener.
Oh, yeah, right.
Actually, technically, we have three people. Mm. There's the one I talked about before who travels a lot, and so we were out to dinner with him and his wife, and they were asking about Rise of Skywalker, and they said, what'd you think? And he said, actually, I've listened to a couple episodes of The Magical Talking Hat, so I know a lot about what Tony thinks about this. And I haven't checked yet if he's still listening. In a few weeks, we're going to get together again, so I may ask. Also, another friend of mine started listened to a few episodes, liked it okay, found it very interesting. We mostly complain about... my voice being loud or whatever, but no, she said mine was really quiet and she could barely hear me, but you were very loud. Mm. And I found that odd because most people don't know. We were talking about other things. I'm like, wow, how far did you go back? Because you're not knowing any of the stuff we talked about. Finally figured out she's not a very technically involved person. She just watches the YouTube videos.
Oh.
She's like, they were very short. I'm like, no. And I explained. I was like, no. And she was doing it in the car. And she's like, so I just had to let it run through because I couldn't mess with it in the car. And I was like, no. Podcast, go here, do this. I'm like, the episodes are about like an hour. So yeah. You won't have to mess with anything anyway. She's like, okay. Yeah, so she may be listening again. I don't know. And then a guy just at work today told me that he listened and he liked it.
Oh.
He said he felt like he was one of the guys.
Aw.
Which is confusing because half of us don't think of ourselves as guys.
Right. But I mean, it's an expression.
No. I get it. I'm teasing. And I think that's a thing. I mean, people out there, let us know on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. But I feel very much because of the unscripted, earnest, and honestly lazy nature of how we do this.
Earnest and lazy?
Earnestly lazy.
Lazily
sincere,
earnest, maybe.
Sincere is better. Sincere and lazy.
Okay.
You're right. Earnest gets tricky. I mean, we care about being late. Anyway, it feels like just two people are talking. And if you're there listening, you just feel like you're the quiet one.
Yeah, I guess.
Or you're the one nobody pays attention to, because I know certain people yell at the podcast. So welcome, new listeners, if you're out there. Please keep listening. But if you're going to be a serious listener, you should know some people have been listening for... almost 9 years?
Almost.
Yeah, almost 9 years. And I don't recommend you do that. I mean, it's driven them insane. Absolutely. It's not good for your mental health overall. But welcome, nonetheless.
You could listen to one every day, and it would take you a year and some change.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you could do that.
That sounds so terrible.
Well.
Wow.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know for sure. I've never listened to one. But, the idea of recording it every day for a year is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do a quick recap of the one that everybody missed.
Do you remember?
Pirates are interesting.
Certain ones are, anyway. Not all of them.
I thought I had more things like that. I was playing more Conan stuff that was also interesting while frustrating. I saw Knives Out, and it's a very, very good movie, and I highly recommend it. I feel like we both saw something that did we talk about The Witcher? I feel like we talked The Witcher before that.
I don't remember if we did or not.
All right. So go see Knives Out, and also Pirates are interesting. there was probably more to it than that. There was enough stuff that we didn't draw any questions.
That's right.
So, I don't know.
Which, that's weird now that I think about it, because we must have been really involved in some interesting conversation.
Yes.
Or interesting to us.
It is.
And I do not remember what it was.
I think you just talked about pirates for a really long time.
I might have. I mean, I might have done that, but we talked about a lot of other things for a long time.
There's other media that we talked about a lot. There's a TV show or a movie or something that we both saw.
Was it The Witcher?
Maybe it was The Witcher. I don't know. I don't feel like it. I don't know.
That doesn't seem like we would have talked about that for very long.
I feel like we did talk about The Witcher quite a bit, but I feel like it was an earlier episode.
Oh, well, okay. I don't know.
In any event, toss a coin to your Witcher. Go ahead. It's fine.
Nice.
There are some really interesting metal covers of Toss a Coin to Your Witcher out there that are actually pretty badass.
Oh.
So, how has your week, we'll say, been?
So, we're playing the remastered for PS4 version of
Skyrim
now.
Yes, you're playing quite a lot of it.
That's right. And so, while my wife is playing, it feels very weird. There's a lot of things happening in the game that I didn't pay a lot of attention to before.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, because in Skyrim, there is a conflict between some nationalists and some globalists, and the nationalists get a little racist sometimes, and the globalists get a little fascist sometimes, and it's like, this is wrong. I don't want us to be playing this game right now. This is weird, because, you know what I'm saying? Back when we played it before, all of that just came off as very clever game design, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, and came off as the thought experiment.
Yeah.
So many of these things. It's like, what if the political stuff was taken to the extreme?
Well, but,
and now it's like, what if the political stuff closely mirrored the real world?
No, but even at the time when we were playing it, it was an oversimplified version of reality. But that was... When they had the storm cloaks, and they're very nationalistic and whatever, and not all of them are racist, but some of them are, it's like that kind of happens. And then you had the Imperials, who are critical of local governments and everything, but seem to be in favor of equality between the races and stuff like that. Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. So even while I remember when we were playing it before, I thought this is very clever. It's very clever how they've done this. But also, it was mostly from a game design perspective. Like, well, here's two factions, and there's some pluses and minuses, right?
Yes.
And again,
which I always prefer. I hate when it's like, clearly these people suck and these people are
exactly
awesome.
That's exactly right. And so it's like, so they're doing a good job of creating these factions so that it's not just easy for you to pick the quote unquote good guys or the quote unquote bad guys. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we experienced it when we played it. At least we played it. We experienced it like that when we played it. But now, like you said, now it feels like something that was made to mirror the society around us, which of course it wasn't because this was years ago. But it just feels weird now. You know, whenever someone who's a Stormcloak says something racist about the Dark Elves, it's like, this isn't not interesting.
What do you bet there's a mod out there that puts MAGA hats on all the Stormcloaks?
That would actually be funny.
That's why I assume someone did it.
But, that's the thing about this game is that you do have access to some mods.
Yeah.
My wife's looked at them and she's not interested in any of them, but she likes playing the game. It does look a little dated because remastered thing was like 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
So it looks just the slightest bit dated, but it is so fun. And it the only time it's not fun is when one of these things happens, that an Imperial says something that's offensive or a Stormcloak says something that's offensive. And again, back in the day, it was like, oh, that's very clever and realistic. And now it's like, oh, I don't want this in my video game.
I spend enough time listening to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was really weird. I half thought I would complain about it. I would complain about my wife and I dealing with this kind of stuff without saying it was in a video game. And so you would assume I was talking, that we were watching the news or something. And then I'd say, but it's because we're playing a, you know, we're trying to escape it by playing a video game in a way. And here it is right in front of us all the time.
It's tricky.
But we're also, watching. So I don't know if you remember this, but some time ago, DC started making this thing called DC Superhero Girls for girl audiences. Do you remember us talking about
that? Yes. Well, and I think it's the one where one of the heroes is Harley Quinn, right?
Well, it was a whole series of animated things.
Because I think the girl next door was watching it, and one year she dressed as Harley Quinn, and I was like, how do you even know Harley Quinn? And they're like, oh, it's from the...
No, Harley Quinn was in...
And she's like a good character in it. Yeah.
Well, they've sort of...
I think I know something.
They've rebooted it.
Okay.
So now DC Superhero Girls is very different, and Harley is not a good guy anymore. But it's complicated because Harleen, her alter ego, Harleen, is friends with Barbara Gordon. And they don't know that they're alter
each
egos.
Other's secret identities. Yeah. It's been done, but yeah.
So that's kind of fun. But so we're watching this Superhero Girls, and they're only like 10, 12 minutes a piece. And we kind of like them because they're kind of fun. And they're a little more silly than the other one was. The other one was kind of, it was funny, but it was kind of, let's teach young girls lessons kind of thing.
So this is like Teen Titans becomes Teen Titans Go.
Kind of like that, yeah. And it is, it's pretty fun. But there's still that...
Even down to the change in episode time.
Yeah. It's still fun, but there's still the lessons they kind of want to teach. Yeah. And for me, when I watch these things, it tells me what the showrunners think young girls are dealing with. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And sometimes what it's saying they're dealing with seems like probably not what they're really dealing with. Like, if you watch this show and you didn't know anything about preteen girls, you would think preteen girls spend a lot of time being jealous of everybody and everything, you know, about how people look or whatever. Now, maybe that's true. Maybe that's a big problem with preteen girls in the United States in particular.
For the record, neither of the hosts here know much at all about how to get in the mind of a preteen girl.
I mean, I raised a girl.
Was decades ago now.
Decades ago? It wasn't that long ago. She didn't seem to have a problem with being jealous of people. But then again, maybe she just didn't tell me. So, but if you
I'm
watch
so
this,
jealous of teen girls.
If you watch, well, you remember Teen Girl Squad.
Teen Girl Squad.
I you know we
cheerleader. The other one. No, cheerleader. So and so.
But that's
what's her face. That's the other one.
That seemed to be making fun of that whole thing.
You think?
And so I'm watching this sometimes, and I think, come on, don't.
I have a crush on every boy.
Don't insult the intelligence of the young girls watching this show. And sometimes they kind of do. But the voice acting is really good. The characterizations are pretty good. Supergirl is fantastic. What they're doing with Supergirl is amazing. I like... this is the first time they've ever had an animated version of Wonder Woman where she has an accent like Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Nice.
And her character's pretty good. But weirdly, you know... So another thing you notice while you're watching the show is they want to give all of the superhero girls like some kind of trademark weakness.
Okay.
And Wonder Woman's is Steve Trevor, which is totally eye rolling, right? And at one point, Supergirl even grabs her and says, "You are the very embodiment of, you know, female empowerment. What's going on with you?" So even the show acknowledges how kind of dumb it is. It is a little bit funny, but whenever Wonder Woman's not exhibiting this weird weakness for Steve Trevor,
boy, crazy.
She's the way they portray her is really funny and really awesome. And their Green Lantern is the new what's her first name?
The Far Sector one.
Cruz. Her last name's Cruz. there are new Green Lanterns. It's a man and a woman.
Okay.
And I forget her first
name.
There's
one. There's a series running right now called Far Sector, that's new Green Lantern, who I think is a human woman of color, and she's in this far off part of the galaxy and
This could be her. I mean, because she's Latina and her last name's Cruz, and I always forget her first name. But she's in it, and her characterization and portrayal is really fun. And what they've done with Barbara Gordon is pretty hilarious. She's like a fangirl of Batman. See,
okay.
And Tara Strong voices her, and it's very.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Actually very good. It's actually very, very clever and very funny. So we like watching it. Sometimes we roll our eyes because we think, I don't know if these people really know what kind of issues preteen girls are having, but it's pretty fun.
He-Man used to remind me to brush my teeth. And Wonder Woman once told me not to chew on polystyrene cups.
Well, you know, we watch She-Ra, and we love it. And sometimes it gets so close to being like She-Ra, it's really cool, but then it just falls a little bit short. But anyway, how was your week? Because you had your birthday.
I read an article recently on The Onion. It's an older article, but I saw it. And it said the creators of Frozen 2 come out and admit that the character of Ilsa is a lesbian and also a trans-exclusionary radical feminist. Man, this whole thing, like, we love to be able to show a diverse cast, which also means a diversity of political beliefs. We feel that there'll be something for everyone in this character. And they talk about the scene where Olaf tries to follow her into the bathroom and she accosts him and demands to know his gender. And they're like, and they also leaked that in Frozen 3, we'll deal with Anna's very complicated feelings about sex workers.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty sweet. Yes, I had my birthday. Not a lot happened for my birthday, which is fine. It was pretty low-key. We didn't really do much. We went out to dinner last night, but it was date night, so that would have happened anyway. But she did take me out for, like, a special dinner, which was pretty nice.
That's nice.
We're probably going to start a new show soon. We've only two episodes left of The Good Place. But we did watch two comedy specials that I want to mention, one of which we actually watched before, and I forgot to mention it. Leslie Jones finally got her own comedy special on Netflix.
Yeah.
It is interesting. It is pretty darn hilarious, due almost entirely towards her enthusiastic execution. Like, there a lot of the material, I'm like, I don't know if I'd find this as funny. She is so intensely involved and excited and screaming in the faces of audience members.
But don't you think that's true of every comedian, that it's partly it's who, like Jerry
it's
Seinfeld.
It's a factor, but the axes are different. Some people just create clever shit.
Yeah.
And if you retell those jokes as yourself, it's still funny.
Oh, yeah.
Other ones, and sometimes they do that, but also they bring with the delivery. But this is why I've talked before about the two major axes I have of whether I find material to be funny and whether it amuses me. So there are comedians that I can be like, that is a really well-crafted joke. That is a good bit you did, but it doesn't really make me laugh. And then there's other comedians that I'm like, God, this stuff sucks, but I can't stop giggling about it.
Well, like, a lot of Jerry Seinfeld stuff is only funny when Jerry Seinfeld says it.
See, I would say a lot of Jerry's stuff you could just repeat, and it would do. I mean, his delivery matters,
yeah.
But his jokes – but, like, for example, I couldn't do any of the stuff from Leslie Jones's thing. I mean, not only because I'm not a black woman and some of it would be really weird, but it wouldn't be funny coming from me.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's a mix, but I laughed a lot, so I would recommend it. But more than that, Catherine Ryan has another special on there. This one's called Glitter Room. She's amazing. I'm just really falling in love with her. She is a very strong feminist voice who definitely has a set of life goals and views that don't entirely mesh with mine, and I'm fine with that. And her feminism is very much meshes with mine, because she's very much on, you know, what women should be able to do whatever they want, and men need to stop She has a whole thing. Like, what it comes down to is, men, stop having sex with vulnerable women. Just stop doing that. I know it's a real turn-on for you, but you need to stop it. But, I mean, she even starts it out with, like, how she's single and she's 35, and she's like, I don't want a man in the house. I feel like men are like dolphins. They're just for holidays.
They're just for holidays.
They're really fun and beautiful, and you can have a great time. But also, a lot of them are rapists. Hashtag not all dolphins, but a lot of them. Things like that. And it's solid stuff. And she's just clever, and she's just hilarious. And I highly, highly recommend that one. She's very good at what she does, and she's very. I've discussed this before. Michelle Wolf is good. I like Michelle Wolf.
Okay.
I don't love her.
Okay.
She doesn't make me laugh as much, and to a degree, and she embraces this, and this is fine. She's very big on her vulgarness and things like that, and.
Michelle Wolf.
Yes, Michelle Wolf, and she takes it to a place that. Sometimes I just don't find as funny. Personally me, not a thing. A lot of her stuff is good, and I still, if she gets a special or whatever, I'll always watch it. But it doesn't do as much for me. I would, my ideal version of what she does to me is Catherine Ryan. And Catherine Ryan can be vulgar as well, but Catherine Ryan to me feels more clever, more thoughtful, and just a little bit more real. I don't know. It works for me. It took me a long time because she absolutely looks like a Barbie doll, and she's obsessed with day drinking and, you know, things like that and all this. And it feels like it wouldn't be. And it, to a degree, I don't think it's an act. It's not like Natasha Leggero where that was her bit. I feel like this is how she lives her life, but that's fine. And she's aware that she made this choice, and it's not, she's not vapid or anything like that. Mm-hmm. She's brilliant. I don't know. It just cracks me up. I would highly recommend that. I have for now stopped playing Conan Exiles.
I noticed you were playing something else.
I consider this just a break.
But it was a break.
I know I'm not good with that with video games, but I'm just it was getting a little tedious, and I was like, I want something that's different for a little while. And so I picked up Divinity Original Sin that Trish and I tried to play way back.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
And I still don't understand how people play it together. Like, there's so much minutiae of quests and things, and which part do you want to do now, and do you want to look for stuff in this barrel, or do you want to talk to this person, and how much do you actually care about listening to them, and what, there's so much stuff that I'm with two people cooperatively, it would get crazy.
This is a couch co-op?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, we should try it.
You should. It is interesting in that you can totally go, you don't have to stay on the same screen. To the degree that you just have to stay in the same general area. So you can go and do separate quests at the same time in split screen. But it's just really, you might do it because you will just do whatever your wife tells you to do.
That's right.
But is I don't know. I found it hard, and I find it much easier. There's not there's the constant does she want to do this? What, how much of this? Is she done reading the thing? Can I, there's just too many factors. Because there's so many little details to it. Also, I'm getting way too into the idea. I played it for 8 hours, and I had read some tips and things online that made me think I could do it better, and I started completely over. I've started over completely two other times, just a little bit into the game, because I screwed up something in character creation. One where there's only three voices to choose from, and I picked the wrong one for one of my characters. The other one was fine. And another one where I had done the palette, the little portrait image wrong, and the hair color did not match the hair color of my character. So I restarted the whole thing, created the characters over again. Its default setting is there are two main characters, and then each character gets a character companion. So you have a group of four. It is turn-based combat, which is weird, but fun. And the default is that the two main characters are one man, one woman. But you can change it, which we didn't bother the first time, but this time. So now I got two women going around. And yeah, it's fun. I'll probably play it more tonight after when I'm recording. It's very old school, like the original Baldur's Gate. Not the console one that we played, but the original PC one where you had the. It's very like that. Or it's sort of a blend between, because it's not quite as intricate, but pretty close. But yeah, you should check it out. And it has a sequel if you liked it. That's apparently even better. So, still reading the same book I was reading. Still watching Rick and Morty. I'm getting closer to the end. My gym's Wi-Fi has been being really weird lately. It's been screwing it up. So I think I've taken this opportunity. I think I'm going to start tomorrow, in fact. Some of my streaming services will allow you to download stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But only some of them and only some things. But there's a show that I've been meaning to watch on my own called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a comedy musical TV show that was on Showtime and then I think moved to NBC and now has ended after four seasons. A couple of things that brought... Well, I showed you... Remember I showed you Fucked on the Cats?
Yeah, was it on NBC?
Maybe it wasn't NBC. It was a network. It moved from Showtime to actual regular network.
It seems like maybe I saw ABC. Ads for it all the time, like on... It wouldn't have been CW, would it?
Could have been. Maybe. I don't know. I never watched it. It was on...
It seems like it was on the same network as Jane the Virgin.
It went to... Oh, maybe it was on Freeform then. I don't know. But... Except... I thought Jane the Virgin was...
I thought that was
CBS.
CW.
I don't remember. Anyway, it definitely moved to something where like it had to clean up its language and stuff because it was on Showtime before. So
really?
They had to adjust to being on a normal network. But sir, I never had any interest. The title is really off-putting.
Yeah.
Like Cougar Town, they did poorly with the naming of it. Although that is apparently the premise. I think the whole thing is the main character trying to get over her breakup and then hijinks ensue. But I saw some of the... It's out here. Apparently, my wife left her phone out here, and she didn't know where it was, so she's using the Find My Phone app. It's over by...
I'm triggering all the hatters who have iPhones.
Clearly. Guys, that's not your phone or iPad. It's
triggering.
Trish's.
It's the producer of being...
The producer cannot ever find her shit.
Oh, it's
she's
in
holding
the
jacket right now, and she still can't find it. Okay, there it is. Even Addie's weirded out. All right. Anyway, all four seasons of it are on Netflix, and it's 40 minutes, so I can just split each episode. And it's not like when I watch other stuff, I don't feel like there's going to be a lot of cliffhangeriness of watching one episode because it's a comedy. I can download it. So I'm going to do that, and I'm just going to finish up Rick and Morty on my own time instead. Which is good, because I was never super comfortable with watching Rick and Morty at the gym, because there's some weird-ass shit you see in Rick and Morty. I'm still not sure if I want to be watching Rick and Morty, but I want to have watched it, so I'm going to keep going for now. I think after the third season, I'm going to be out. Apparently, the fourth season is even more misanthropic and misogynist in some ways, so I think I might be out after that. What else is it? My job is getting interesting. I'm doing new things that I did not expect to do, and that are harder, but in a way I can still do. I'm kind of enjoying it. It's a little bit more challenging. I did some research and helped co-write a memo that's going to some very high up people in the company, and like me and one other person are the only names on it. And it's pretty neat.
That is neat.
Yeah, so that's been kind of cool. I think we're going to start Fleabag. I think I said that.
Yeah.
We're going to start something. We haven't decided yet. I think that's all the excuse I've had not to draw something. So let's go ahead and draw something.
So Oregon has this thing called Bi-Mart. Huh?
Yep.
I mean, if I say it out loud, the listeners probably think Bi-Mart. That sounds like a store. But it's spelled Bi-Mart.
Yes. I wondered what brought this up recently.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, it wasn't back in the day. It is weird.
I don't mean like bisexual mart. Cute. I mean like Bi-Mart. That's two.
It was not well thought out. and Bi-Mart is essentially shitty Costco. It existed before Costco, but it was one of the first places where like you have a membership and stuff like that. But it's not that exciting.
Coffee wants to know.
What is Coffee wants to know?
What is your current obsession? This is a loaded question, really, because, I mean, first of all, why would we have a current, why would we have any obsession at all? And why would we have so many obsessions in our life that we've got one current one and then that'll go away and then we'll have a new one?
I don't know, but I totally have a variety of obsessions and usually I obsess on them for a little while and then I switch to something else and get obsessed with that.
Is this just a figure of speech obsession? Like, you're not really obsessed with
it. I mean, it's not meant clinically. I'm not saying I need treatment for it, but for example.
Yeah, for example.
I've had several times where I find a TV show, like on YouTube or whatever, and it's been around for a long time, and there's a bunch of them. I'm like, I really like this, and I watch them every once in a while. And then I get to where I'm like really into it, and I will just watch as many of them as I can for a while, and I get kind of obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay,
And then I get bored with it. And then I'm done. Or I finish it, and I'm done. Mock the Week was like that. I was obsessed with Mock the Week for a while. Admittedly, I don't have a lot of new ones to watch now, but also, even when they happen, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll watch that, but I'm not like super excited. I'm kind of obsessed with Taskmaster right now.
Yeah, you say that a lot.
I was recently obsessed with Conan Exiles. I'm not anymore. I could be obsessed with... I'm frequently obsessed with whatever video game I'm currently playing. I could be obsessed with... I'm not feeling super obsessive these days.
Obsessed is not a word I use to describe my interest in a thing.
Yes. You're obsessed with not using that.
Yeah.
Is this related? I don't know. I'm going to talk about it anyway. We skipped a really big thing.
Okay.
Corridor Con.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, we went and did Corridor Con.
I was going to ask about that.
During the horrible storm.
Yeah.
It was not fun to go do that. And I'd never been in Cedar Rapids Public Library. It's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, it's a very nice library.
Not a lot of people there. Not at the library. There were plenty of people at the library. Not a lot of people at Corridor Con. We started with six of us. Mm. Later, a seventh showed up, and then he left, and then later two other people showed up. Mm. So we ended up playing two games, one of which went very well, and one of which didn't go as well for a variety of reasons, some of which may have been also that we had limited time at that point. They were both in the Powered by the Apocalypse system.
Sure.
One was called Masks, and it's a superhero one, but it's specifically a teenage superhero one.
Mm.
I had played before a game called Worlds in Peril that was a superhero one, Powered by the Apocalypse. It was different, but this was teenage superheroes. And it was pretty cool. But we got into really good characters. And it was interesting to me because I have tended to avoid teen, adolescent role-playing games for the same reason I avoid teen and adolescent TV shows and movies. I hate teens and adolescents. They're so stupid and annoying. However, I didn't think it through. They make rash, dramatic, and often very exciting decisions because they're idiots. So it makes for interesting role-playing.
Mm.
We had a lot of... I mean, we ended up with a weird sort of... I mean, we're all like 14 or 15, but there was a pseudo sort of love triangle going on because two people were very mad at each other and a third person had a crush on one of them and confided in the first one. And so that person was trying to help, and they misread it as them flirting with them, and it became... And it didn't help that two of them... Well, one of them in particular was solidly neuroatypical, like, essentially on the autism spectrum.
Mm.
Not that's how they chose to play that particular character. And another one was just... Had crippling social anxiety, so it became very... weird, and like the neurotypical one finally apologized to the girl that they were mad with, and then she's like, oh great, now that you've accepted my apology, have you considered giving up boys? And she's like, what give up on people? Wait, no, not people, just boys. You should stop trying to date boys, maybe date a girl who happened to be the end. And she's like, are you hitting on me? And he's like, oh god, no. I say he, the that one was gender non-binary. They're like, no, of course not. And they're like, why aren't you hitting on me? And this was outside of all the fighting and shit we had to do. I mean, I chose, because it's roles that you pick and then you build the character around it. So there's like the Legacy, who's a superhero that is like the next line of a line of superheroes, and they have a lot to live up to and things like that. Or the Doomed One, which is frequently compared to Raven on Teen Titans, right, where like they know they're fated for horrible things and cope with that. And we had the Brain and stuff like that. And I had, the one I picked was the Nova, which is essentially the really powerful one that is constantly having trouble controlling it.
Mm.
But I went in an odd direction.
Okay.
The superpower I went for was essentially bordering. It was sort of a psychokinetic thing dealing with nervous impulses, but essentially gave me borderline telekinetic control over lower life forms, in particular like bugs and germs and worms and stuff like that. And I would like literally keep them in my pockets, so I'd have them available and stuff. And I was really gross. And like, she didn't wash at all or anything, because she just was constantly caked and wore the same gross clothes all the time. And like, was very, very strongly like rebel without, like I'm clearly a disaster, and I'm just a fuck up. So I'm gonna pretend like none of it matters and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting and fun to play off of. And then it got really fun later, because I said that her parents are supportive as much as they can. And so it ended up that, like, the place we all went to hang out was my parents' base. And my parents are, like, super nice and trying to make them, like, snacks and crap like that. And, yeah, it was a really fun game. Unfortunately, it was, like, half an adventure. Because, like, we finished in what would be, like, half an adventure. But then that had taken up all the time. So then we just had to stop. But it was a really fun game and done really well. And then the second one was called Feudal Fairy Kingdom. And it's harder to explain, because the person doing it explained to me that it's a game in a setting kind of like Arthurian Legend or the anime Inuyasha. Which to me, those things are so completely different. It makes no sense. But it was a very, it doesn't have to be set in Japan, but it was a very much a feudal, honor-bound Japanese kind of, those were the themes you were dealing with.
Okay.
And I just don't like those themes, which maybe some, anything where honor is a mechanic, I'm like, oh, fuck off. And yeah, it sort of didn't, it was interesting. I had to play the character that was the destined one that had come from another time or place, brought here for an important destiny.
Mm.
And so very quickly, looking at like the questions I had to ask and stuff, I just decided to play Frank Grimes.
Oh.
I love that you remember. None of them knew.
Oh.
But I literally played Frank Grimes, the character from season 8, episode 23. Yes, I looked it up. Of The Simpsons. Who dies at the end by accidentally electrocuting himself. So the story I did is that afterwards, he woke up in this fantasy realm. And that all these followers thought he was destined to help find the celestial fire and other people. And the celestial fire is just nuclear fission.
Mm.
And so he was just looking for like physical material and stuff and didn't do it. It didn't work super well, but it was fun. So that was really fun. But then it got me thinking more games. And as you know, my game is on its way out. My Dark Harbor game. We're in the last adventure right now.
Oh, okay.
Which is fun, because I just make the entire town go insane and try and kill them.
Mm.
So that's been fun. But I'm trying to figure out what to do next. And I was going to try and do Ashen Stars, which is a sci-fi gumshoe game, because I think gumshoe would work really well for my players. But playing all of this Powered by the Apocalypse stuff reminded me how much I like this system,
mm-hmm.
and how much I like one that is very close to it, Blades in the Dark. That was a game, I don't think you played in it, but it was a game that we played at that first Corridor Con.
Mm.
And it's similar. It pulls a lot from Powered by the Apocalypse, but it's a little bit different. And it's where you're playing a gang of like thieves and a gang of miscreants in a sort of steampunky Victorian city.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it looked really cool. Well, somebody created a variant using those rules, which are called Forged by the Dark Rules, I believe is what they've called that, which is a playoff of Powered by the Apocalypse, called Scum and Villainy. And it's essentially Blades in the Dark, but instead of thieves in a weird town, you are criminals on a spaceship trying to make your way. So you can either be smugglers or bounty hunters or rebels, essentially. And, I mean, you can be a mix of them, but that's sort of how it's set up, because there's a big overarching galactic government as well. And so people say, like, depending on how you pick it, it's either kind of like Firefly or kind of like Cowboy Bebop or kind of like Star Wars.
Sure.
Depending on what you pick. And people really love this game. And in particular, one of my players really loves the idea of this game, but has never played it. And so, long story, not as long. I recently spent like $100 and bought hardcover copies of all three of those.
Oh,
games.
Okay.
And I don't know which one we'll run. Some of them I think could be more interesting and we might enjoy more. Some of them I think could suit my group more. Some of them will cause a lot more or less work for me, depending on which one. So there's just a lot of factors. And this is all based on not having read them much at all, because I don't have the books yet. So, and in fact, two of them should be showing up tonight. So we'll see.
I think there's a video game coming out this year. This isn't exactly related, but I think there's a video game coming out this year that's based on the White Wolf role-playing games that were...
Yes.
The werewolf ones?
Oh, I don't know about that. They were doing another vampire one, because years ago they did a game called Vampire Bloodlines. It was a computer game based off of those that was had a very strong cult following, and they finally made a sequel, or were going to make it. Maybe that one's already done, so maybe they're making a werewolf one. I don't know. I tried to play the werewolf version. I wasn't... There's a few things I had trouble with.
Often complained about the whole pack thing.
I don't do well with werewolves. Yeah. The whole pack thing, the weird animalism issue, where the animal inside, and because it very quickly becomes about very specific sex things that I'm not happy about. But also, in Werewolf, at least in the version when I started, there's a very strong undertone of sort of ecological warriors, which is also a genre I don't give a shit about. As much as I enjoyed Captain Planet and the Planeteers, I don't really care about people fighting for Gaia, like, as an adventure idea. So none of that has ever appealed too much to me. I'll be interested if they're coming out with this. They're also coming out with a tabletop role-playing game based on the video game Dishonored.
Oh.
Which could be interesting. It seemed like an intriguing setting. I could never play it, but...
Oh, my wife really loved playing it.
Yeah. Did she play the second one?
Mm-hmm. Really liked it.
Yeah. I wish I could have, but first person.
First person, yeah. What is your current obsession?
Clearly, role-playing games, as you can tell.
It is merely an interest, not an obsession. But I suppose, you know, if I'm being too picky about semantics there.
Oh, yeah. No, Oak Island is totally an obsession of yours right now.
And pirates.
I think pirates are creeping in.
Well,
it's too soon.
Pirates, because they probably are responsible
for Oak
Island.
Yes, because you think Oak Island. I think they may have just drawn it. But no, you absolutely... Are you kidding? The rate at which you have been watching those shows and then read a fucking book on it.
I did.
Yeah. No. What coffee means and what I mean and what we all mean, this definitely falls into the category of current obsession.
Well,
unless, of course, you're like this for the rest of your life, in which case then it's not a current obsession.
That's true. That's true.
But assuming that at some point you are going to get off this Oak Island thing, it counts as
I read an
obsession.
Oak Island book and I read a pirate book.
Yes. And you were fascinated with how much it ties into Oak Island.
Well, it doesn't really. It's just... What's interesting me about Oak Island at the
moment...
You're
welcome, people. We talked about this at length in the last episode.
Is the archaeology...
for me entirely purposefully destroying that last
That I'm
episode.
Interested in. And so now I want to know why those things are on the island. I don't agree that it's Templars or treasure or anything like that, but what is it? I want to know.
I'll tell you. Aliens. It's aliens.
No. Now you're fascinated by archaeology sometimes. No?
No. I'm a cultural anthropologist.
Well, right, but
I had to take one physical anthropology course.
That's true. And that's mostly what interests me is cultural anthropology, but when things are found where nobody expected anything to be found, that always intrigues me. It's like, why is that there? And it's not necessarily going to be a fantastic crazy answer. I'm just interested in what the answer is.
I am, in the sense that I'm like, oh, you found that there and that shouldn't be there. Cool. If you figure out what it is, send me an email. But that's it. I don't need to sit around and watch you try and piece it together. I don't want to hear your myriad theories that you pulled out of your butt.
Well, now see, that's interesting because that often bothers me. So when I'm I subscribe to a lot of science news and stuff. And if it's archaeology, I'm always interested in it. But often I'm very frustrated with whatever the archaeologists are saying about the thing. Yeah. Because they're clearly just making it up. Which is fine, but they're not admitting they're just making it up.
No, that's the thing. It has to be the hypothesis and then put it against evidence. And when you're dealing with something like that, it's a hypothesis. And then frequently it takes a lot of time to get any evidence points that can do it.
Or you're making a statement that's not even testable. So if you're honest about that, that's fine. But they're often not. They'll say things like, well, this clearly blah, blah, blah. No, there's nothing clear about that.
I hate clearly. It's very bad.
There's nothing clear about that. You guys are just making that up. And then they have to retract. Like, the thing I like to bring up all the time when it comes to this kind of thing is when, 20 or 30 years after the fact, they actually test the DNA and bones they've discovered. Oh, those are female. We assumed they were male because of all the weapons with them. It's like, yes, that's exactly what I mean. And that's not a new thing. From the very first time I was ever exposed to literature about archaeology and anthropology too, and hearing people make up stuff about what certain things mean and thinking, you don't really know that. So what are you basing that on? And it was often based on nothing.
Frequently it's based on their own cultural assumptions.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, we would have done it that way. So clearly that's how it was done.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very frustrating.
Absolutely.
But I still find it interesting.
In a surprisingly related comment, something today made me do this today. I actually went out and looked at Goop.
Oh, you did?
I did. I was like, I hear a lot about this. I should check some shit out.
It's an interesting anthropological thing.
Yes. That also angers the shit out of me. Oh, does it? Because it's an interesting anthropological thing that they're charging money for.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just... And they've got the boilerplate disclaimers in some places, not in other places. and then they're really pushing. There was stuff where they were like because so many of the articles are just they found an expert in whatever weird hoodoo it is, and it's just a Q&A.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the your popularity seems to have the momentum of a runaway freight train. What's your secret? that's another Simpsons reference. Anyway, but a couple of them talk about actual research they've done and what they're talking about. I'm like, that sounds kind of like actual research. And so I would go and try and find it, and I can't find it anywhere except A, the website of the person who claims to have done it. Mm-hmm. And even then, they don't break it down.
Mm-hmm.
They just talk about it. Or a couple places that are like innerearthspiritchildweekly.com. And I'm like, yeah, fuck right off. So it drives me.
It's pushing fraud is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. As soon as you're charging for it and as soon as you're saying it consistently does these things. At least, some of them at least acknowledge the idea of the placebo effect.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that because, as Trish said before, placebo effect is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if it's something that does the placebo effect for me, I'm happy with it.
Yeah,
now,
me too.
The trick is if you start thinking about that too much, maybe it doesn't work.
Well, yeah.
But as long as it does. I mean, and I very much am under the impression that if I try a treatment and it works, cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't really matter why, as long as there's not side effects.
Yeah, that's how I
feel. But they do also specifically suggest health treatments and wellness treatments that are on record as having killed some people and things like that. Mm. Hypothermia treatments and shit like that. Mm. That I'm like, no, this is not. And then so many things that they sell for huge amounts of money.
Yeah,
this is why this came up originally, because they have a docu-series on Netflix now called Goop Lab. I encourage everybody not to watch it, because it's it's essentially an infomercial masquerading as a medical documentary.
Oh.
With Gwyneth Paltrow in it. And apparently it's Gwyneth Paltrow sort of hosting this thing where employees of Goop go try out these weird treatments and then give testimonials about how amazing it was and how skeptical they were before, but it really did work.
So that's another thing that really bothers me. Skepticism isn't a belief system.
No.
It's a method of approaching.
Yes, you should never stop being skeptical about something.
So a lot of times when people say, I was skeptical of this, all they mean is they had contrary beliefs.
Yes.
And if that's...
And also it means, and now they don't.
Yeah, exactly. If you go into something with beliefs that are contrary to what you're going into, you're not going in as a skeptic.
No.
You're going into it as an unbeliever,
yes.
Which means you can probably be converted pretty easily.
Or there's no chance that you could, no matter what proof shows up.
That's right. So,
skepticism is a different thing.
Yeah, skepticism is about how you're evaluating everything. It's not about a belief system. It's about a way of thinking and a mindset.
That's the thing. When people say this is absolute crazy shit, that back here I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's just stupid crazy shit. What I actually say and what I genuinely believe is I would need to see data on that.
Okay.
I would need to
that's
see.
That's what a skeptic
yeah.
says.
Yeah.
But usually when people say, I was totally skeptical when I... No, you weren't.
Because...
You weren't
shocking
skeptical.
People
you
for somebody who doesn't
belief.
Believe in any of this shit at all. I don't believe any of it. I'm also willing to admit that both I and human society and medical science don't have all the answers.
Well, that...
And there are some things we can't explain. Totally willing to say that. I'm just not willing to go to it's aliens or this herb will cure my impotence or whatever without some... evidence.
Well, but that's also skepticism. Skepticism, again, it's not a belief system.
Yeah.
When you go into something as a skeptic, you don't have an idea of what it's going to be or not be. You have a mindset that's where you're going to test everything. And if it doesn't meet your standards of test, you don't say it's not true or whatever. You just say, well,
yeah.
it didn't meet
and
my standards
right.
of test.
It's not a belief system because I can go into something skeptically like that while still believing... Yeah, this is bullshit.
No, that's up. Right. They're two different things.
Yes.
But
skepticism
people,
is not about belief. Skepticism is about process.
That's exactly
this
right.
is empiricism, essentially.
But not. But as you just pointed out, it doesn't mean you can't have beliefs. It just yes. means that's not what being a skeptic is. But a lot of people, when they say they go into something skeptical, they just mean that they don't believe it.
Now,
and that's not the same thing.
This may get into a proscriptive versus descriptive like. One could argue the term has evolved a bit, and we know what they mean when they say skeptic. But it does conflate the issue at this point because people do think it means different things.
Well, but I think when someone the reason someone says I was a skeptic before this, they're trying to add credibility to what they're about to say.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it sound like I didn't come into this wanting it to be true, so therefore what I'm saying isn't that. But
yeah.
that's not necessarily true when you say you're a quote unquote skeptic. It just means you didn't believe it starting out. That has nothing to do with your motivations or
yeah.
or anything, but they want you to think it does. So,
the big one's always been for me is I don't care. Like, I'm glad you're convinced. You being convinced does not, when it comes to medical treatment and things like that, you being convinced is not what convinces me.
But isn't there kind of this weird, I've noticed that too, but there's this weird thing out there about if someone tells you something, like they're almost insulted if you don't believe
it. Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Like you're saying something bad about them personally
yes.
if you don't believe it.
Which is why usually my response is, I see. Occasionally, if I feel that I'd say, I would be curious to see the data on that.
Yeah.
And if it's somebody I really know, I'm like, yeah, you're talking out your ass. or I meme it and I say, press X to doubt.
Press X to doubt.
Yes. That's from an old video game where you would interrogate people and different buttons would like change your expression and stuff.
Oh.
And somebody took a shot of one where it says, press X to doubt. And We are over time. So our current obsession, coffee, is clearly podcasting. Thank you for your question, and thank you all for listening, assuming you got to hear this. If you didn't hear this, go to the blog and tell us you didn't hear it. TheMagicTalkingHat.com.
What if it doesn't work? We'll probably quit. It's like the cosmos telling us not to do this.
It is possibly. We'll have to see. And on that cheery note.
But then we'll have to have dinner every Tuesday or something.
The good news is if you're hearing this, that means it worked. If you're not hearing this, we quit.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.